We believe in one God, but that God is a family of persons without beginning or end. The Father loving the Son, giving all that He is, pouring that into the Son responding in kind, and the love between them being so great, it is the third person of the Blessed Trinity, that is the Holy Spirit, whose great feast we celebrated last Sunday. God is a family. The difficulties that we have with that idea is our own experience of family. For many of us, our family experience was anything but divine, anything but godlike. Too often, we dealt with addiction, mental illness, divorce, all types of domestic violence, of a lot of brokenness and woundedness, coming from their parents, and continuing from generation after generation, the chain unbroken because help was not given or received or accepted. And our families are so broken, the idea that God is a family usually creates within us, consciously or subconsciously, a not good feeling. And yet, it is God as family who created us in and through family that is calling us back into that experience of family through prayer, so that whatever our family experience was like, our experience of God as family and being part of it would transform, heal, and change us forever. From the beginning, God revealed the nature of His three persons as family in the creation of Adam and Eve. Male and female, He created them. And He said to them, "Be fruitful and multiply," that the love between Adam and Eve that was before original sin, perfect and pure and beautiful and holy, would be made manifest even more by the creation of children. God commanded the marital act. It was intended to be a sacred and holy thing between one man and one woman, open to the gift of life. Of course, original sin threw a huge wrench into God's plan, as well as personal sin thereafter. But from the beginning, God made them male and female. And we believe that the family is an icon of the Trinity here on earth, that the family is supposed to be a sign to the world of how God loves as a family of persons. And it's no wonder why it's so profoundly attacked in political and other means. The traditional nuclear family is not a political idea. It's a scriptural one based on natural law and rooted in sacred tradition coming from scripture and preceding it. The family is meant to be a sign to the world, pointing to them of a God who is love, who is completely self-giving and open generously to the gift of life. And insofar as we're not living that, it makes it all the more difficult to appreciate that we belong to this divine family by virtue of our baptism. So in that baptismal font, the church celebrates what is essentially the womb of Holy Mother Church. And from where we were baptized, be it that font or another, we were adopted as God's sons and daughters. In that baptismal font or wherever we were baptized, God said to us, "You are the child of so-and-so and so-and-so, but today, this day, you are my son. You are my daughter forever." It's on the day of our baptism that God calls us into the experience of His divine family to heal us, to form us, to mold us, to teach us who we are. That essentially is what prayer is. If you have any positive experiences and memories of being with family, surrounded by loved ones, in a peaceful environment, being cared for, being protected, feeling a sense of identity, then you have but a taste, a speck of sand in all the beaches of the world, and what it's like to pray in the context of a family, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. It's how we begin every Mass, it's how we end it. It's how we traditionally begin every prayer, and it's how we end it. Always within family, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. It's a constant reminder that no matter how broken my family is or was, how dysfunctional or struggling we might be, that ultimately the only family that's going to fulfill me, for which I was created, is the family of God. This is but a taste of that which is to come, that we are called to, that we've been adopted into, and that God wants to heal us. So often our family experiences have created a great deal of profound wounds that we carry the rest of our life. Lies that we think about ourselves: we're unwanted, we're unloved, we're no good, no one wants me, my parents didn't care, whatever those lies may be. And God invites us to prayer in such a way that we just simply rest in the presence of the real family, the only family, a family that always is and was and will be, so that we can experience what it's like to really belong. You know, when children come from a very healthy, stable family, they have a great sense of self-confidence. They know who they are. They'll look you in the eye and shake your hand and tell you their name and who their parents are. Of course, cell phones and social media have had a huge negative impact, we know from numerous studies, on the psychological health and well-being of our children, allowing them hours and hours of exposure to what we know for a fact to be horribly damaging to their mental health. But there was a time before social media and cell phones, when things were limited and restricted by parents, where children, in the case of healthy families, could look you in the eye. They weren't ashamed. They were confident. They would tell you, "That's not how my daddy does it," or "This is what my daddy does," or "This is what my mom does," or "This is how she is," or "That's what she says." And they're unfiltered, sometimes to the embarrassment of the parents. But it speaks of a confidence of, I know who I am. I know where I come from. I know who my parents are. I know what they've taught me. And it's so healthy. And that is ultimately what God desires for us and in us in relationship to Him as a family. I know who my father is. I know who my brother is, Jesus the Christ. I know who my mom is, Our Lady. I know who my brothers and sisters are, the saints of heaven and the angels of God, those who worship here. I know where my true home is. Here at Sacred Heart, the Father's house is my house. Any Catholic church I go to is my house, and they are my family members. It doesn't matter what language they speak, what color their skin, what culture they come from. Remember when Jesus was lost for 3 days. He was in a caravan of a large family. Many of us can relate to that. They were traveling to Jerusalem and back, and Mary and Joseph assumed that he was with one of his cousins or uncles or aunts or whatever. And there was a huge family. 3 days passed, and they realized, or a day or so, they couldn't find him. They go back to Jerusalem, and you know the story. Where do they find him? And Jesus was shocked that they had a difficult time finding him to begin with. "Jesus, we've been looking all over for you. Shouldn't you not know that I would be in my Father's house?" "Yes, I was with my family, traveling with you, my cousins and second cousins and aunts and uncles and so on. But this is my home, more than anywhere else. Why wouldn't you know that I'd be here?" Shouldn't we be just the same? To recognize that before any other home, this is my home, or any Catholic church in the world. And that what I experience and I hear of the Father loving me in the context of a family, Son and Holy Spirit, His healing power through the sacrament of confession, His nourishment through the Eucharist, His sense of taking us in and loving us and healing us and affirming who we are in Him as His sons and daughters, is something we're meant to then take out into the world and into our homes. If we don't experience prayer and Mass like that, then the idea of us going into all the nations and proclaiming the gospel sounds like either foolishness or the exclusive work of priests and missionaries, religious sisters, brothers, and bishops. Both are wrong. It is a vocation of every Christian to talk about their father and what their brother taught and what their mother said and how their family prays and where we are on Sundays or Saturday nights, to have that same bold confidence as a son and daughter of God, to share that with others and invite them to a meal. Invite them to your home. To invite them to come to worship. Just as you feel confident, if their house is clean, then you're comfortable with it, to invite people into your home, how much more should we feel confident and joy-filled to invite people into this home. It's our home. It's the home of the Father. It's the home of our family. It's the place where we're reminded, in spite of the brokenness of our own human families, of who we really are, the truth that we are God's sons and daughters, that this is the Father's house, and whenever I'm here, I'm home. And whenever I'm here, I'm within my family who loves me perfectly, unlike my own family. And I am told the truth of who I really am, in spite of the lies that I believed because of the wounds I grew up around or I grew up in. Did you not know that I would be in my Father's house? Jesus thought that was just second nature and obvious, but it wasn't to Joseph and Mary. It's not to us either. May that change, and may every time we make the sign of the cross, we be reminded that before my earthly father and mother, I have a heavenly father, I have a heavenly family, and they're first above all else. And who I am is because of them above all things. They who are my family always by virtue of my baptism, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.